Today, let's learn more about Chris Finch, maybe get into the NBA playoffs a little bit. One of my observations watching these NBA playoffs is there aren't that many teams that scare you to death anymore. They're talented teams, but there aren't, you know, this isn't like, oh, the Warriors are great. We have to wait 5 years to try to be good. I think there are opportunities here if the Wolves can turn it around. Let's also ask if Glenn Taylor is getting out at the wrong time. But let's start with John's piece about Chris Finch. Again, this is the John Krasinski Show, part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. John, just tell us more about Chris Finch.
Yeah, so put a story out in The Athletic late last week. It's sort of a profile of Chris Finch, but also really a profile of the major, I think, theme that the Timberwolves have to be considering going into this offseason, going into next season, and that theme is accountability. And so, you know, what we had seen from Chris Finch in his couple of months on the job since he took over, and what you had heard from players, from people in the organization, is that, hey, look, this is a guy, 51-year-old coach who has been overseas, who's been in the G League, who's kind of really been all over the place. And one of his hallmarks is that he is not afraid to confront players, any players, when they're not doing what he wants them to do, and trying to hold them accountable to do the right things on the court. And so I'm trying to explore that theory when I started reporting for this story. And one thing I looked back on was his days as a college player at Division III, Franklin and Marshall in southeastern Pennsylvania. And it's kind of this this very small school, private school, but with a very, you know, steeped basketball tradition. They're a really well thought of basketball program. They've been Chris Finch took them to the national championship game his junior year there for Division III, and so they've had a lot of success. And so I called up their head coach, their retired head coach, who was there when Finch was there, and he's this legendary guy. His name's Glenn Robinson. He's won a ton of games and just recently retired. I think it was in 2019. I just said, hey, coach, I'm calling about Chris Finch, and I told him about kind of the theory of a coach who needs to, at one point, hold these players accountable and keep them on task, and then on the other point, make sure that, you know, that they know that he has their back, that he's supportive of them, that, you know, he doesn't just kind of ream them out and alienate them. And Glenn Robinson is kind of, he's this old guy. He said, well, here's a story that I've been telling for 30 years. And this really sums up what you're looking for. And so Chris Finch's senior year, they're a really good team. They're coming off of the national championship run to the game. They lost the national title game, but and they have a promising freshman center who is 6'8", 260 pounds, but he's still really raw. He's just getting his legs underneath him in the college level, but they think he's going to be a really good player. They're at a holiday tournament. Finch is trying to feed the post a couple of times, and the big guy drops the pass, or either can't get position and can't get a good angle for Finch to get him, or when he gets that position, he can't hold on to the ball when Finch gets it to him. So they get to halftime, and Robinson is outside of the locker room, and he's talking with his assistants, and they're just trying to figure out how they're going to address, you know, this young kid who just can't quite get it together. And they walk into the locker room, and he says he sees Finch with the big guy backed up against the locker. You know, he says that Finch lifted the guy off the ground and was kind of saying, listen, if you don't start catching that ball, I'm never going to pass it to you again. Get your head out of your rear end and let's go. Let's lock in. And the coach just kind of chuckled to him and said, well, I guess we've addressed that. Now we're just going to move on. and so I talked to not only the coach, but I talked to the player as well. Charlie Detz is his name. And Charlie just said, hey, look, he gave me exactly what I needed at that time. And I didn't take it wrong. I didn't take it like he was being an asshole. I took it as he's really invested. He wants me to be a good player. And he pushed me along. And he said then later in that season, when I had a really good game and a loss to Princeton, but everyone else played poorly, it was like Finch came up to me, put his arm around me, and said, hey, you played great. The rest of us didn't match your level. If you keep going like this, you're going to have a great career here. And the kid went on to be a conference player of the year and had a really good career there. But basically, that is kind of the way that Finch has to find a way to coach D'Angelo Russell, Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards. And he's got to be able to find ways to get these young guys' attention and get them paying attention to what the coaches want him to do or want them to do, but also, you know, kind of give them the pat on the butt sometimes and make them feel like that he is invested in making them better players and making them more money and getting the team better. And it's a fine line for these coaches to walk in the NBA because it's so difficult with the egos. It's so difficult with all the player empowerment and the ability of players to kind of tune out a coach and get them fired. You got to be careful with it. And so that's Chris Finch's big challenge. And if he can do that, if he's able to get D'Angelo Russell to play even a little bit of defense, if he's able to get Karl Anthony Towns to be a little bit better of a leader in the locker room, if he's able to get Anthony Edwards to focus and to kind of develop all of those skills the right way, now all of a sudden you may have something here because the raw talent that these guys have is pretty significant. They just need someone to kind of hold their feet to the fire. And I do think, you know, and this isn't just a Ryan Saunders thing. This is a Tom Thibodeau thing. Tibbs never really held Karl Anthony Towns' feet to the fire. The last person that did was Sam Mitchell, who would bench Towns in the fourth quarters of games early in his rookie season when he wasn't playing defense. And so, like, as much as these players have to feel like the organization has their back, they also really need to be pushed and coached hard and held to a standard. And that's the challenge that Finch has. And so they're not going to go anywhere unless these kids, you know, really, you know, have the support of the team, but also say, look, enough is enough. We need you to get out there and start playing the way that you guys are being paid to play. And let's get going here. And there's some early indications that Finch has that ability to do that. We'll see how that goes over the long haul. But so far, you know, there's some promising threads there to pull on.
Yeah, and that's the – I mean, I'm not around the team nearly as much as you are. I don't have the sources you have. But that, looking at it from an outsider's perspective, that was the vibe I was getting from Finch, was that he's likable, but he's tough. And as you said, I mean, you know, Greg Popovich, you know, one of the great coaches of our time. I mean, he could get in people's faces, but he also had a great rapport with people like Tim Duncan, or he wouldn't have won. You know, I talked about this with Cheryl Reeve all the time. Cheryl says that great players, good players, want to be coached hard. You just have to coach them hard in the right way.
Yeah, it's a great point. And, you know, like the stories are legendary of Pop pushing Duncan as much as he did. And really that setting the tone, because the rest of the Spurs said, man, if Duncan allows it, I have to allow it. And so that's what needs to happen with Karl Anthony Towns, has to allow Finch to push him that way. Same with Anthony Edwards, same with D'Angelo Russell. Like if your stars buy into that and understand that you're trying to make them better, you know, that's going to be the big key. Then the guys, you know, the Jake Lehmans of the world and at the, you know, the other players that are out, the role players, they're going to see that and say, okay, I'm going to just fall in line. And that's how teams get better, is they do allow themselves to be pushed. They want to be better. The other part of it is you have to see some return on that investment. So whatever you're telling them, whatever a coach is telling the players, if it doesn't work in the game, then you lose that credibility. And so I think that they saw enough little, you know, kind of micro progressions during Chris Finch's time that they can start to believe that, okay, if I listen to what this coach has to say, it's going to help me as an individual. It's going to help the team as a whole. And finally on this, Jim, what needs to happen is the president of basketball operations, Gerson Rosas, has to make it clear to the players that he has Chris Finch's back, that Finch has the undying support of the organization, and that there are going to be no power struggles here. That I support my head coach, and what he wants is what we want as an organization. And you have to be in lockstep that way, because the second that there is any kind of authority that is weakened, or there's any signs of kind of a different of opinions or approaches between the front office and the head coach, your head coach is toast. And so, so far, Gerson Rosas has done a really good job of empowering Chris Finch and making it clear that what he says goes, and this is my guy. And so I do think that some players on the roster wondered about that with Ryan Saunders. Like, is Ryan Saunders the long-term head coach for the Timberwolves? I mean, that I do think played a little bit of a role in his ability to hold players accountable. Finch is Gerson Rosas's guy. If Finch doesn't work out, there's a very good chance that Gerson Rosas is not going to get another chance to hire a head coach. And so I think that it is a little bit more kind of clear that these two guys are joined at the hip, that there is that support, and that's going to help Chris Finch as he really does try to kind of put his fingerprints on this roster, and as he, you know, really kind of has to get in guys' faces every once in a while and do those things that he feels are needed to do to spur some sort of improvement and development.
612 TSR time. That's all you need to remember. If you're ever injured, just call 612 TSR time. You will deal with a lawyer. They will give you advice. They will give you free advice, and they will only charge you if they take and win your case. Steve Terry, founding partner, has been on the show many times. We like him. We trust him. We've met his partners. We've seen his business. We've seen his business grow. Go to TSRinjurylaw.com to check out the entire operation, testimonials, financial rewards they have gotten for their clients. Just check them out. 612 TSR time. If you're ever injured, you might not want to spend a lot of time researching this. We can vouch for them. 612 TSR times, all you need to know. Give them a call. We hope you don't need to make that call, but if you do, you want really good help. TSR Injury Law will provide really good help. Let's hear from John on Manscaped, manscaped.com.
That's right, Jim. Father's Day is just around the corner, and you probably need a gift for a hairy dad. Make your dad proud this year and get him and yourself the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right. The Lawnmower 4.0. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ATHLETIC at manscaped.com. Manscaped is the only men's brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming and just launched their Lawnmower 4.0. Imagine surprising your dad with a sleek, well-designed and optimized body hair trimmer that says your balls will thank you on the box. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. It also gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. You can now shave your balls in the dark. The Lawnmower 4.0 even allows you customize your trim through additional guard lengths with sizes 1 through 4. They also have other amazing products like cologne, crop mop ball wipes, crop reviver ball toner, and crop preserver ball deodorant. For all the females listening, you'll appreciate this. Manscaped products are cruelty-free, paraben-free, dye-free, and vegan. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ATHLETIC at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code ATHLETIC.
So as I watch these NBA playoffs, and I guess I should just let everybody know, hey, best way to listen to these shows, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. You can go to talknorth.com, see all the shows. John does the Viking Update show with me. This obviously is our Wolves and NBA show on the network. We've got Russo, LaPanta, Cheryl Reeve, John Millay, Jeff Diamond, Roy Smalley. We've added Lavelle Neal to the Chin Music Baseball Show. Might have another big announcement coming up here soon. Thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. And thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. As I watch these NBA playoffs, I just think we're in a different place. We're not seeing dominance by a traditional power. We are not seeing dominance really by any particular team. I mean, the Nets are probably the most talented team, but Harden's had some injury issues. We don't know if they're going to play any defense. You're not seeing, to me, you're not seeing the dynasty type team. You're seeing a bunch of interesting teams from interesting locales. But what's your view?
Yeah, I mean, I as a basketball fan and just a kind of an NBA junkie, I really like it. I think the now that the Clippers beat the Mavericks and are advancing to the second round, the remaining field has not won a championship since like 1983, I think it is, or 82. So it's been a long, long time, you know. And one of the things that the NBA is criticized for, and I understand it, is the lack of parity, is that, you know, it's there's just not a freshness. It's always the big market teams, or it's always the Lakers or this or that, that that, you know, that are winning the championships. Well, this year it's going to be an entirely new champion. And, you know, there's plenty of teams in the field left, including the Clippers, who have never won a championship. Denver's another one, never won a championship. So so there's a real chance that there's, you know, there's a first time winner, or at least, or at least an organization is going to win it that hasn't won it in almost 40 years, which is, that's a really good thing. Now, there are going to be people who say that because there's no LeBron James, because there's no Steph Curry, because there's, you know, you don't have the Lakers or the Celtics. Now the Knicks are out of it, obviously, that, oh no, the, you know, this is really bad for the league, and people aren't going to pay attention. And I would say that I think that the concerns about some of the TV ratings will be kind of warranted in the short term. There may not be as many people who tune in to watch an NBA Finals if it's between Milwaukee and Utah as they would have if it was, you know, the Lakers and the Knicks, obviously. But I still just, I'm of the impression and of the belief that sooner or later, leagues get to a point where they need to sort of pass the torch, and they need to give a lot of the young players in other markets a chance to be featured on the big stage, and then let the fans make their decisions on if they really like it, if they're going to buy into the league as a whole because of it, or if they're like, meh, I don't know, I'll wait and see when the next big thing comes along. But, you know, with LeBron and Steph being out, those are the two most popular players in the league. Neither one are in the playoffs any longer. And so now this opens the door for Joel Embiid, for Donovan Mitchell, for Devin Booker, for Nikola Jokic, for Kawhi, who has been there before, and Paul George, for, you know, certainly Harden and KD and Kyrie to kind of reemerge, for Giannis. You know, there are so many, for Trae Young, there are so many really good young players in this league that I think fans would really kind of identify with and jump on board with if they just got them featured. I mean, during the regular seasons, you know, the Warriors play all these games nationally televised, then the Lakers, you know, it's the same kind of four or five teams in rotation. Well, in the playoffs, it really offers up an opportunity for casual fans and younger fans to see some of these other players and see them at a high level and have them under the hot lights, have them under the scrutiny, have some great stories written about them and all these things. And I think it's going to be a great thing in the long haul. The ratings might suffer initially, but people were not totally enamored with Steph Curry early on in his career until he really started having big moments in the playoffs. Maybe that'll happen for Donovan Mitchell. Maybe that'll happen for Devin Booker. Like, that's the exciting thing for me as a basketball aficionado, is that you get a freshness and you get to send a message that, hey, it is not the same guys every single year. Take a look at what else they have to offer and see if you like that as well.
Good stuff. You know, I want to ask a weird question here. Glenn Taylor is going to make a massive profit off selling the Timberwolves. It's been a great business venture for him, you know, and probably endeared himself to a lot of Minnesotans by keeping the team here. He's gotten to run the Lynx, which have won championships for him. Do you think when it comes to just the Timberwolves, is it possible he might be getting out at the wrong time?
It's entirely possible, because I do believe that, it, you know, just from a personal standpoint, if he held on to the team for, let's say, you know, three or four more years, and, you know, he didn't have this arrangement to sell at this $1.5 billion valuation, I think it's entirely possible, assuming, you know, if you think that Anthony Edwards is going to help this team at least become a playoff caliber team regularly, And then you see there's going to be some the new TV deals for the NBA that are going to pump more money into the situation. You get a little bit further removed from the pandemic and all the money that you lost there. I think there would be an opportunity for that valuation of the team to push much closer to $2 billion. And so you could make, you know, a lot more money than by selling a team that is at the very bottom of the league in terms of you know, ticket revenue, in terms of season ticket base, in terms of kind of excitement for the franchise locally. I mean, the Wolves are in a hole that way. And so selling at this point is in some ways, you know, selling low. Now, you, no one's going to shed a tear for him. I mean, he bought the team for $88 million. He's selling it for $1.5 billion. He made an ungodly amount of money. But there was an opportunity to really even get more of it and cash in even more a little bit down the road. And I think that there may have been some people that just said, hey, Glenn, are you sure you want to do this kind of a situation before he finally signed off with Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez, because it is entirely possible that A-Rod and Lowry have bought in at $1.5 billion. And in 2 years' time, assuming that they make all the payments and they get to a point where they are taking over the franchise, and if the franchise is more competitive and you have those TV rights done and things like that, I mean, they could just make hundreds of millions of dollars right away just based off of that. So from an investment standpoint, yeah, it's possible that he is maybe walking away a little bit earlier than he could to maximize that. I do think, though, that he is at the point where it's just like he feels like he's tried everything he could to get this team going in the right direction. It hasn't worked for reasons that kind of were for him he could be blamed for some of those reasons. He could not be blamed for other of those reasons. And some of them are just poor luck and things like that. But I think it just, everyone kind of got to the point where like, hey, Glenn, it's time. And Glenn believed that, yeah, it's time to kind of relinquish control a little bit and see if someone else can have some more success. And that's the why he's kind of doing it now, as opposed to holding on and trying to squeeze every last golden nugget out of this thing that he has right now.
We'll probably get more into the NBA playoffs next week. Thanks to John for all the insights. Again, check out John and myself on the Viking Update Show, where we went really deep on Aaron Rodgers' options and possibilities, plus Danielle Hunter and everything else. Thanks again to our producer, Brandon Morton. And thank you for listening to TalkNorth.com.